Be sure to friend us on Facebook. You can do it right now. Visit facebook.com/Voice America or search for us at keyword Voice America.
The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Have the changes in the banking industry affected you? With the looming possibility that your local bank branch might disappear and more web, mobile, and social technologies, what will the changes mean for you and your business? Welcome to Breaking Banks with your host, Brett King. The possibility that banking is no longer a place you go, but just something that you do, has become very real. Now, here is Brett King.
Welcome back to Breaking Banks. This is our third week on the air. Our fourth week on the air. Last week we had a great show. We were discussing with some very interesting brands in the space about how you generate revenue without bank branches. We had USAA, and we also had Ubank from Australia. And this week we're going to talk about social media and its impact on the business. So we've got a couple of really interesting people joining us. Frank Eliasson, who heads up social globally for Citi, and our friend Simone McCallum, who's got up very early in the morning down in New Zealand, in Auckland, to join us and discuss what ASB Bank is doing down there. Now, of course, there's been there's a lot of debate about the whole social thing, where the ROI is, and we're going to get into that. But it's very interesting. This week, there's been a couple of big announcements. The main announcement, of course, in the social space is the acquisition of Tumblr by Yahoo. And I'm going to get into this with both Frank and Simone later, but it's very interesting to see the reaction of the crowd to the Tumblr acquisition. There was an almost violent revolt from the Tumblr users as the Yahoo announcement came out. I think, Tumblr was seen as young and cool and dynamic and this very interesting environment. And then suddenly you have this situation where a mainstream media company comes in and takes over this, and it's suddenly seen as potentially a shift in the way this platform is going to work functionally for, you know, particularly the younger people that are on this platform. Now, for those of us who've been involved professionally in the business since the internet started back in the mid-90s, we probably still think of Yahoo to some extent as a startup. But of course, they're a company that is probably 20 years old now, maybe. That sounds about right. About 95, I guess it was, when they emerged. So, here you are. You have this very interesting clash where we think of Yahoo as this .com, a vibrant startup a few years ago, went on to big success. And, here this Tumblr audience is phased by this introduction of this new dynamic into the Tumblr ecosystem. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about what's happening with platforms like Facebook and these sorts of things. It's very interesting to see how social has developed as this new communications platform. But like these new forms of media, when these new forms of media are introduced, there's often a question as to how it's going to be used. And the first organizations that rush to own this platform tend to be organizations like Facebook in the case of social, or if we're talking about internet, as you know, the AOLs or the early CompuServes and these sorts of organizations who want to own the content platform. And then on top of that comes the advertisers and the media people trying to get marketing messages across. And it's not really until a little bit later where we start to see businesses deployed and working in different ways on these platforms that we start to see really interesting things happen with this new technology. So you'll have to excuse me this week. I've got a little bit of a cold, so if I sound a bit strange, that is why. At this point, I'd like to bring in Frank Eliasson from Citi. Frank, what's your formal title at Citi?
Director of Global Social Media.
Very good. So that sounds very impressive. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. Congratulations on having the show. I think it's great.
Yeah, no, it's a very interesting dialogue. We've had some wonderful guests and getting a lot of great audience participation. And this is a very hot area at the moment. Suddenly banking is exciting. You know, what happened? This is a way to really start getting into some of these dynamic changes, and nothing more could be more interesting, I think, than the whole social space. Now, when do you think banks first started to realize that social was going to be maybe that's the wrong question. When did the first banks start to play with social media in real terms, do you think?
What I've seen, in dealing with social for years, and probably a bit biased in many ways, I think good crisis tends to bring you into social media, or at least understand the impact that social has. So I think for the banking industry, I think the crisis over the past number of years has certainly influenced how people view social, how people view their brand, and they see it each and every day. That's not that different than other industries. When we go back into the early days of social media, some of the first companies that took to it, the companies like Dell, Starbucks did an amazing job very early on. I worked for Comcast. But each one of those at that point was actually going through some type of crisis. So crisis tends to bring out that in companies to actually recognize what's going on.
Right. So, tell me a bit more about the journey that Citi made in respect to social. How has their view of social changed over the last few years? How did it start? And now, where do you think social fits within Citi's brand and within the community of Citi users?
Yeah, I think, it's definitely evolved over the years and continues to evolve, just as the space does. And I think it's important to pay attention to that evolution. For Citi, I joined there almost 3 years ago. Basically, their CMO at the time, Michelle Peluso, was really looking at things, saying we need to figure out a way to really turn this brand around. And I think she did an amazing job while she was there. But then during the course of that time, we've experimented, we've done things various ways around the globe and certainly learn from those. I think that's certainly exciting. But, to me, people ask me when I joined Citi, they're like, I can't believe you're going to a bank. To the dark side, exactly. But think about it. The banking industry has always been about relationships. Social media is about relationships. The two actually go hand in hand. Now, people want to hear what some brand's message, some brand spews? Probably not. But it is a part of a relationship game. And I think we're getting to that point. We're getting to the much deeper aspects of social media and the conversation centered on the employees and how they use social media and, how they're such great brand advocates. There's a reason why they work for you. And, really starting to build it out in a much broader way than just, marketing approach. And that's what I get excited about social. It's something that's always excited me is, this changes how you do business. And, social media just, what it does is it highlights the company that you are. So if you can, in many ways, change some of the things that you do, that can really change the perception of your brand in a very dramatic fashion. So I'm actually excited right now with all the potential that social is going to bring, and we'll see an influx of the tools to allowing that. But it's also more important to me is the change in mindset that goes along with that, and understanding that the employees are out there and they are able to speak, and they're doing different things, and how you can help them and facilitate them instead of saying no to them.
So I think this element of the dialogue is a very important aspect of social media. To illustrate that, in February 2010, just before I launched my first book, Bank to Zeros, in the UK, meeting with a very well-known global banking brand who shall remain nameless to protect the innocent. I was with their head of marketing globally and talking about social. And, his reaction was, we don't believe in social media. And this was in 2010. This is not like it's, you know, Facebook's already starting to get some huge traction. There's a lot of stuff happening. You know, Twitter's already building. You know, this social media was not exactly new. And I said, well, you know, why? You know, how could you make that comment? He said, well, think of it from our point of view. You know, we spend tens of millions, hundreds of millions of dollars a year on our brand. You know, building our brand, nuancing our brand, messaging our brand, and you know, we don't want to have someone come in and take control of that. You know, and we don't want people talking about our brand in a way that we don't basically have control over. And I said, well, that's already happening. They're already talking about your brand. So, how has the dialogue changed the character of the brand or the life of the brand in respect to the way customers perceive a brand in the social space?
Yeah, and you have to actually, you know, make changes to your brand. You have to, instead of it just being an outbound message without the underlying, you know, effects towards that message, it's useless. And so, like, one of my favorite things in my whole career, and I've had a very successful career, you know, and I'm grateful for all the people that have helped make that happen. But one of my favorite things that we've ever did was work for people struggling with mortgages. But the reason why I loved it was we were taking this information that was in social that people were talking about, and we were bringing about facilitating true change within that business, all the way down to the role of the people that help you in the bank and, you know, the people that would help you get a modification on your mortgage, instead of being, you know, people that are, you know, loss mitigation specialists. Now they're homeowner support specialists, and their measurements are all based upon supporting homeowners. You know, it's this bigger shift that social brings, but you have to first recognize that you don't have.
Right, so community involvement and you know, that sort of broader engagement beyond either a one-to-one or just sort of a broadcast strategy.
That is correct, and it also becomes this offline component, not only with the way you do business, but you know, a lot of the offline stuff that we did centered on mortgage and still do. You know, stuff where we're in the communities, meeting, you know, with community groups and partnering with nonprofits and doing things to actually help people stay in their home. So a very deep, deep shift in how you do it. But you first have to recognize that loss of control and be open to it.
Great. So, listen, after the break, we're going to have Simone McCallum join us. She's from ASB Bank. Do you know Simone, Frank? Have you met?
Of course.
Good.
I was going to say, I'm trying to recall if we met in person, but we definitely have interacted online.
Definitely through Twitter.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, we're gonna speak to Simone after the break, and then, you know, after that, after the next break, we'll get you back into this conversation, and the three of us can talk a little bit about how to develop a great social media strategy, a team, the resources and strategies required, and then talk about some of the longer term impacts of this, looking ahead over the next 5 years or so. Sound okay?
Sounds good.
Great, Frank. Thanks very much. So after the break, we'll be joined by Simone McCallum from ASB Bank, talking about the impact of social to a bank out in the Asia Pacific region.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
Dialogue is the single most powerful leadership tool we have to make a difference in the world. Leading Conversations with host Cheryl Esposito creates a place for that dialogue. Tune into the Voice America Business Channel every Friday as Cheryl hosts new conversations among leaders from around the world in business, government, art, economics, and social change. We'll explore big ideas and everyday actions and learn how their own leadership has led them to discover a newfound sense of possibility in the world. Leading Conversations with Cheryl Esposito, bringing big thinkers together in conversations that make a difference, right here on the Voice America Business Channel, every Friday morning at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time.
Are you looking for innovative ideas on how to achieve your financial dreams?
Tune in to Empirical Investing Radio every Thursday afternoon at 2 Pacific, 5 Eastern on the Voice America Business Channel. Join certified financial planners Ken Smith and Ethan Broga to learn how you can obtain financial success. You'll be entertained while you discover techniques to alleviate your financial concerns. Empirical Investing Radio every Thursday at 2 Pacific, 5 Eastern on the Voice America Business Channel. Today's business marketplace is becoming increasingly global thanks to technologies that didn't even exist a few short years ago. Your business might be a startup or you might be one of the global 500. Either way, you're probably looking at customers and competitors in faraway regions. Listen for Global Reach with host Tay Revez as she brings together experts, ideas, and listeners to help you anywhere in the world. Global Reach is broadcast every Thursday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to Breaking Banks, featuring your host, Brett King. To reach the show today, please call 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Or send an email to breakingbanksradio@gmail.com. Now, back to the program.
So you're back with Brett King, your host of Breaking Banks. We just heard from Frank Eliasson from Citi as he's talking about the journey that Citi started to make on the social platform and some of the nuances, the changes, the philosophy and psychology, how that's different from the traditional broadcast methodology. And we're very fortunate to be joined by Simone McCallum now from ASB Bank. It's very early in the morning there in Auckland, Simone. What's the time?
It's just a little bit after 5:15 in the morning. So good morning, Brett.
Well, good morning, and thank you so much for getting up so early to join us. But I'm sure everyone appreciates your comments and feedback and participation. So tell me a little bit about ASB Bank and who you serve, what your position is in the market. Many of our listeners may not be familiar with the bank.
Yeah, so ASB is I'm one of the major banks in New Zealand. We've got about 4 or 5 major banks in New Zealand. So we have around about 20% of the marketplace. And from a social perspective, we're the most social bank. So we're really punching above our weight in terms of followers and engagements. We're really leading the way in social media for banking. When we look back to, I think it was 2010, which is when we first started using social media as a bank, we were one of the first there, and we've kind of continued to lead the way. So we're really excited and proud to have pioneered the way, as you would say, in social media. And we have around about 20% of the marketplace, and it's a small, New Zealand has a population of around about 4 million people, and about half of those use, or just over half of those, are on Facebook, and about a half of those use it every day. So we've got a pretty active and engaged audience, and frequent contact with them every day. It's great.
Great. So how was it that you're a smaller bank, came to this? I mean, it's a reasonably sized bank for New Zealand. But compared with these big brands like Citi, how was it that you guys came to a decision strategically that social needed to be a part of the way you connected with your customers? Tell us about that process internally within the organization.
I think it's something that we've always, it's really conversations that we've always had, and ASB has always really been customer service and relationships has been really important to us. And so really it was just kind of a natural extension of that. We've also been very innovative from a technology perspective. And so when social media kind of bubbled up first in the, a few years ago, it was really just an opportunity for us, and we saw it, and we grabbed it with both hands, really. And kind of picking up on Frank's point earlier, not long after that, New Zealand suffered a really serious earthquake in Christchurch, and it was that crisis, I think, that really galvanised us together as a social media team within the organisation, and And we really did our best work coming together with all the various parts of the organisation that was needed for crisis comms. And from then on, we've just really gone from strength to strength.
So this crisis process enabled you to learn as an organisation, some more of the value of social, where it fitted with your community of customers?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it was a great way for us to contribute to the crisis effort. So helping out where we could, of course, keeping our customers informed, keeping track of staff that were affected by the earthquake. We had people that had no way of getting to their funds, their money. They had nothing left, and you know, just being able to direct them to somewhere where they could just walk in and get a debit card, so they could have access to money. Talk about insurance concerns, you know, straight off the street with somebody else who had been through similar things. So it was social. Really, I think it elevated throughout our organisation as a very visible means of what was really happening on the ground at the time, and the feeling and the kind of general sentiments towards what ASB was doing to help.
So, you know, we talk about social media as sort of this meta class of activity, but what are the primary platforms ASB uses for connecting with their audience? What are the primary social media platforms you use?
Facebook would be the biggest one for us, but we're also on Twitter, which is, I guess, a different audience from Facebook. It's when we look at Facebook, it's slightly more female than male, whereas Twitter is slightly more male than female. And we find that people on Twitter are probably a bit more mobile savvy. They're probably a bit more technical. You know, they're on their phones a lot. They were early adopters. So we have a lot of developers, technical kind of people that are there, plus a lot of media, so journalists, et cetera, a lot of advertising marketing folk as well. So that's Twitter. Then in addition to that, we have LinkedIn, which we're using as a professional networking, social network community there, and for obviously recruitment as well, talent recruitment.
So
Google Plus, YouTube.
Yep, Google Plus, YouTube, keep going.
YouTube, Instagram, Pinterest, Foursquare. So we've got a real broad covering of basically the main ones, not Yahoo, Tumblr, but, you know, just most of the other ones there.
Yeah, interesting. Yahoo, Tumblr. You've already renamed them. That's good. This requires a fairly interesting skill set. Tell me about some of your team members that are involved in this from a social perspective. Did you recruit them from within the bank, or did you bring them in especially for this? And tell me what sort of skill sets that these people on your social engagement team have.
So we've got a small team of just three people within our kind of our main social media team, and then we have access to people within our call centre. So kind of like it's evolved into a hub and spoke kind of model. So from that centralised team to more of a hub and spoke. So our call centre will help us with customer support, for example, and they are the experts in their area. But for the main team, which does a lot of community management, it'll handle campaigns, etc. We have a social media editor who writes our blog. So we're also the only bank in New Zealand to have a blog, which we launched at the end of last year in December. And so we're really kind of just getting into our rhythm now of publishing content and becoming a lot more, storytelling, telling the story behind ASB, why are we doing something, explaining to our customers, you know, the behind the scenes kinds of stories and tales, demonstrating thought leadership in banking. So really using our blog for other aspects other than just as another website. And so when we think about the skill sets required, you really need to be great writers. You need to be multitaskers. You need to be socially active yourself. I think that really is important. You need to have a really good understanding of the customer journey and what points of customer engagement along the way. What are the things that, where are the pain points for customers in the financial services industry when they're doing their banking? You know, what are the main things that really kind of get on their noggin? So, and being the customer advocate, I think that's really important within a large organisation to be able to say, no, look, there's a handful of people here who would say otherwise. So it's really important to
Yep. So I just will translate a little bit there. Get on your noggin. This is a bit of an idiom from New Zealand. Get on your nerves. Would that be an accurate translation?
Yeah, that's right. So just things that really annoy you, I guess, would be another way of saying it.
So just doing some New Zealand translation there. How did you come to be involved in this? You obviously sound quite passionate about this, but you know, what was your journey into this role within ASB? I assume you were with ASB before building the social team.
Oh, yeah. I'm coming up to my 12th year with ASB, so I've had a long history. And, you know, I'm only, 26. No, not really.
I was going to say, you started when you were 16?
Yeah, nearly, no. I've worked mainly within the internet banking or in our internet channels area. And I guess social just kind of became part of the people that were talking to us online before we really had a presence. The people that were trying to talk to us were people that were using our internet banking and our mobile websites, et cetera. And so it kind of was an obvious place. Well, these are the people that need help or have questions or are the most users of the social platforms. And so we'll just start our social presence there. And over time, that consolidated into one team with our marketing function, PR, et cetera. And now we're kind of moving into that hub and spoke model with, HR posts obviously their own recruitment. Our call centre will help with customer support, and we'll kind of move into, the next evolution of the business model.
So approximately when did you start on this journey with the social side of things?
In September 2010.
Okay. So fairly early in the piece. What support have you received organisationally?
Oh, we've had a lot of really great support. So right up to Barbara Chapman, our CEO, she speaks very passionately about social media, and that I think has really paved the way for us internally. We've had a lot of support, and through our marketing functions as well, and senior executives. And I think because of that crisis, that Christchurch earthquake that we had in late in 2010, it really just elevated and showed people this is what can happen, and this is the value, the immediate value within social media.
Very good, very good. So it's been it sounds like a very interesting journey. So in respect to these platforms, have you been doing marketing on this, or would you describe this more as a support structure, or is it a mix of various activities on these platforms?
It is a mix. So we do marketing campaigns, and we will do special marketing campaigns just for social media, those communities there, as opposed to everyone. So we'll do a mix just only for them, and plus for all of our customers or potential customers. We have crisis comms. We talk a lot about our community and sponsorship activities, so we're supporting other charities, lead generation, customer service, HR, crisis comms, any media kind of communications as well.
Great. So listen, after the break, please stick around, Simone. We're gonna invite Frank back into the discussion. And I think let's talk a little bit about, how social is being deployed, how it's changing the organization, how it's changing the mix of contacts with customers. And, after the break, we can get into a bit more of that. You can stick around.
I will do.
Great. Thanks. So after the break, we'll be back with Frank Eliasson from Citi and Simone McCallum from ASB Bank.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network. In sales, are you a lion or a vulture? Lions don't wait, they just go for it. Vultures hang around until the lions are finished and just pick up the scraps. How can you set yourself apart as a lion? Join the other aspiring sales lions and listen to Forget Patience, Let's Sell Something with host Ty Maynard. You'll learn the tips and strategies of top sales professionals. You'll gain more clients at a faster rate and at higher margins. If you're a sales professional, business owner, or executive, listen in every Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific on the Voice America Business Channel.
As your business grows, are you growing with it? Do you have the right balance of time, attention, work, and personal life? Take the growing pains out of growth and tune into The Business Edge with Marcia Zeidel. If you are spending most of your energy managing problems rather than focusing on taking your business to the next level, our program will give you the steps you need to make sure you have everything in place for forward-thinking business leadership. The Business Edge is heard every Wednesday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
Voice America Business Network, the bottom line in business.
You are listening to Breaking Banks, featuring your host, Brett King. To reach the show today, please call 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Or send an email to breakingbanksradio@gmail.com. Now, back to the program.
You're back after the break with Brett King, your host of Breaking Banks. We have Frank Eliasson from Citi and Simone McCallum from ASB Bank. So, Frank, we just heard from Simone in respect to how ASB has utilized the platform. You know, how's Citi using social today? What are the specific social media platforms you use, and how are you engaging on those platforms?
Sure. We use a variety of platforms. In fact, when you look globally, pretty much every platform is somehow used some way, shape, or form. So Facebook obviously is still the primary one. But you know, a lot of work we do, and you know, one of these days you should have Linda Descano on, and you know, a lot of the work we do in content syndication, you know, crosses so many boundaries, and it's very impressive to you know, watch that content and how it spreads throughout the internet and how it impacts the brand, not just in North America where they're based, but globally. And I think that's powerful. And so, you know, it's not so much the mechanisms or the place, it's really the way you're going about doing it and the broad aspects of it that to me is the most powerful.
So, you know, in respect to this journey, I mean, one of the things you pointed out is, and this is a little different from ASB, you are a global brand. So, you know, if someone from around the world comes to the Citi Facebook page and they're from, say, Citi in Singapore, and they come to the Citi Facebook page, who actually answers that customer and engages with them? Is it someone in Singapore or someone
sure.
in New York or?
Well, we have a variety of pages, and so you know, hopefully they'll be guided to the right page, which for the most part does work out that way. And so the way it works out is, you know, in the countries, for at least on Facebook, it is handled in a manner that is, you know, each area handles their own page. But obviously, one of the things we have to get better at is, you know, making sure we're connecting the dots. You know, such as some of the great content that we do, say, out of North America, how do we help spread that through other countries so they can utilize that great content? And so that's something that is the current, actually, as I'm sitting here with a PowerPoint presentation in the background that I'm putting together to describe this process flow. But the other component to that is then you have other places like Twitter. And, you know, and one of the challenges for global brands is we sometimes see ourselves in these different silos. And let's face it, in the banking industry, due to regulatory aspects and, you know, the way we are often in those different silos purposefully. If it's those regulations and the products may be different, et cetera. But at the end of the day, the consumer does see you as one brand. And so, you know, how do you go about dealing with that? One of the ways we go about dealing with that is having one uniform back-end software. And so that way, you know, we can easily assign a tweet or even a Facebook comment to the right country for response or to the right people in response. So that way our community managers who sit in marketing, if something service related does come up, they can easily assign it to our service teams and make it all seamless to the end user. And I think that's what we're really striving for in that, you know, we're building that into pretty much everything that we're doing. And you know, hopefully that is a good long-term approach, and I think it is, to really start to look at this ourselves as one brand in many ways.
It sounds like you've got a bit of an internal social network running there to sort of manage the external social network. What sort of platform do you use internally to manage that? Is it something that Citi's built to purpose, or...?
No, actually, we're currently in the process of deploying Sprinklr. And so Sprinklr is the one we're utilizing at the current moment. And, you know, it gives us the capability of managing our Facebook presence as well as our Twitter presences, as well as all these customer interactions that happen in the space. Of course, we did have to, you know, add some things to it to meet our needs. But for the most part, you know, and Sprinklr has been great to work with. So we're just now in the early stages of that rollout. Hopefully by the midsummer, we'll have every area across the globe on that one tool, which will make it a lot easier.
This is Sprinklr as in Tumblr with no E in the wording, right?
Correct. That is correct.
Very good. So, you know, again, you know, we talked about this with Simone, and Simone, you know, I want to ask you a question in a moment. Actually, let me do this one first and come back to you, Frank. Simone, on the issue of managing interactions, how do you guys deal with stuff that occurs out of normal banking hours? How do you you manage that? I mean, I see some brands on Twitter who sort of at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, they say, well, thanks very much. We're signing off today. If you need any help, yeah, we'll speak again at 10 o'clock in the morning. But you know, these channels are used by people 24 hours a day. So how do you guys handle that issue?
Yeah, I mean, that's very, very true. We have customers contacting us, you know, at all hours of the day and night. And often they can be traveling. So they're in a different time zone or they're expats overseas and they are just using Facebook to, you know, catch up with their friends and family and post up their photos of their travels. And they have a banking question as well. So it just makes sense for them to interact with us at that time on that platform while they're traveling or while they, you know, while they're living overseas. And so, yeah, we service our social media channels, Facebook and Twitter, 7 days a week, and we try to have kind of from quite early in the morning, around about 7 a.m. till, you know, 10 or 11 o'clock at night. And so we have rosters, and you know, we just resource for that, and we make sure that it's understood, and we try to respond, you know, within around about an hour or so of the customer's question or query. So not everything requires a response, but where it is a question directed at us, then you know, we should respond.
So this is actually interesting. You know, you've raised this issue, and I'll put this to you as well, Frank. But Simone, you know, you've said not everything requires a response. There's an element of social media is just sometimes customers want to be heard. They want to voice their opinion. Other times they've got a complaint. So, you know, how do you deal with those different sort of edge cases where it's not a service request, but sometimes they're just talking about their problems they're experiencing. Sometimes it might be a specific issue they have with the bank. You know, how does that dialogue take place from an ASV perspective?
So we'll ask if we can help, and if they've had a poor experience, then absolutely we'd like to put that right. Have the opportunity to look at things again. Perhaps if they've had a bad experience with a particular staff member or a particular product, or you know, it might be a number of circumstances that have ended up with them basically coming to our Facebook page often and venting is really, I guess, how I'd describe it. I'm not sure what the sure. American term for that is. But really, yeah, just to air their woes, I guess. It's a public way for them to state their case. And we're more than happy, and we will. We'll contact them, we'll talk to them, we'll review it, we'll escalate it. And in some cases, maybe nothing can be changed, but in other cases, perhaps it was just a bad experience, or it might highlight something that needs to be changed within the bank. So there might be a process that is broken. There might be, you know, some training that needs to be undertaken for a team who are on the phones, etc. So you know, it's really just an opportunity to improve. And if you don't know it's broken, then you can't fix it. So you know, we welcome those kinds of comments on our page.
Now, Frank, you're also very well known for the fact that you're an author and you've written a book, which is called At Your Service, or Ampersand Your Service, technically. Tell me, you know, how important is this element of engaging in a dialogue, even even when there's a problem with customers in terms of creating that identity or that brand voice?
Well, I think there's a few things. I think oftentimes people are told, oh, you have to respond to everything. First of all, I can give you numerous examples of times where people shouldn't have responded. Companies shouldn't have responded. There's a famous insurance situation that kind of blew up, and the company responded to it. And my view is you have to look at a situation for what someone's saying. In that situation, it was about a lawsuit, and there was really nothing good the company could say. And the company did respond because, hey, everybody's told to do that, and it got much worse for them. So one of the things I always tell people is, A, is there someone within the community that can respond to a situation or respond better in a situation? You have to recognize that. There are times where the community can do a better job than you as an organization can do. Celebrate that and allow that to happen. Give it time. So, you know, you don't always have to rush to respond. Now, if there's no way a community could respond, you know, the only one who has the answer is you as a company, then you have to respond and you have to do so very quickly. Speed is everything in social media. And so, you know, it's knowing that, it's teaching that to any of the individuals that respond to these things so they understand how that flow is. But sometimes it's a learning experience. Sometimes if, you know, you see one situation, you say, oh, this is how you should handle it. And then that same situation the next day may need a different type of handling because times change. So it is fascinating. It is a living learning experience. In my book, I actually outline a number of these examples of how companies respond, what they respond with, in some cases right, in some cases wrong.
Yeah. So, you know, this is a very interesting, you know, learning curve for the organization as well. You know, how do you think, what sort of visibility has social media got within the organization more broadly now that you've been on this for a few years?
Yes. Well, social media, you know, we look at very broadly in the organization. Senior leaders are well aware of all our efforts in social media, but they're also well aware and interested in the capabilities that social media brings. One of the capabilities is, you know, companies, senior leaders love to have an inside view of what's really happening in their business. Social media and social media listening tools actually provide that. But the other aspects to that is, you know, we also make a lot of efforts to bring social tools internally and certainly, you know, have them used in a way that provides that same great benefit that where social media is connecting us around the globe externally, to bring that same connection internally. And I think that as that continues to evolve, can be extremely powerful. But I think it's also understanding that, you know, as you implement those tools, it's not all about the tool. A lot about social media, and it's more about the culture. It's more about, you know, what you are as a company, and the tool is just a way of getting there. So I think it's also understanding that the tool is not a magic bullet. Yes. The tool is just a piece of the puzzle. And, you know, as we understand that, that allows us to get much deeper in creating, you know, an organization that has that's much more connected.
Right, responsive and open and sort of willing to discuss things, you know, particularly with the external community, but also having a more open approach to things internally. That's very interesting. Good. So, Frank, hold that thought for a moment. We're just going to go to a quick break, and then after the break, I want to come back and get you and Simone talking about some of the stuff that's emerging on social media in terms of new ways of doing business and some of the best practices that you've seen out there. So after the break, we'll be back with Frank Eliasson from Citi and Simone McCallum from ASB talking the future of social media in retail financial services.
Business community's first choice in Internet Talk Radio, Voice America Business Network.
Did you know that at the root of every business problem lies a communication issue? Communication Nation, a show that brings effective business communication practices to the masses, addresses a number of topics and talking points that impact your professional development, as well as business productivity and profitability. Host Jill Schiffelbein makes the theoretical tangible. Tune in each Tuesday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel. Be ready to become a better communicator with Communication Nation. Leadership is a vital skill set in today's competitive global economy. Being a leader is not enough. To succeed, you must optimize your performance and know how to imbue others in your organization with leadership skills. Practical, actionable leadership insights are the focus of Leadership Development News, hosted each Monday at 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, by Kathy Greenberg and Relly Nadler on the Voice America Business Channel. Doctors Greenberg and Nadler, who coach global leaders on how to be most effective, will share their insights and contacts. The path to leadership excellence begins here.
Are you feeling slammed and suckered in today's stock market? If so, then you need to tune in to Profitable Investing with Jordan Kimmel. Every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, Jordan Kimmel will train you in what you can do to beat up the big boys on Wall Street, as well as share his secrets to success so that you can buy and sell like a profit-pumping pro. Grab the bull market by the horns and listen to Profitable Investing with Jordan Kimmel. Every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to Breaking Banks, featuring your host, Brett King. To reach the show today, please call 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Or send an email to breakingbanksradio@gmail.com. Now, back to the program.
So in our last few minutes, guys, let's get into a little bit more detail around, you know, how social is developing as a platform. We've talked about some of the skill set issues. We've talked about organizationally, how you support it. You know, we've talked about some of the platforms that you use internally and the way some customers are using that to talk with the brand. But let's think about how that's going. What are you guys seeing at the moment that's really interesting in terms of new ways of engaging customers or new products or services that are coming on top of the social layer that couldn't be delivered in a conventional sense with the traditional organization? Simone, do you want to kick off? What are you guys doing on Facebook that's a little bit out of the box or a bit interesting, or on any of the platforms?
Well, on Facebook, we do a couple of things that are a little bit different. One is we have a virtual branch, which is a secure private web chat. So it's a Facebook application, but it's one-on-one. You go into a secure private web chat directly with an agent, and you can talk to them about any of your banking needs, really. And you access that only through Facebook. And so that's one of the ways that we're a little bit different. And it's been, you know, enthusiastically employed and embraced by our customers. We have a regular group of people that will use that for their, you know, for talking to a customer service agent regularly from time to time. And the other thing that we're doing is Facebook payments from your mobile phone. So within our ASB mobile app, which is on, we have across iOS, Android, and Windows, you can select a Facebook friend to make a payment. So if I wanted to pay you, Brett, then I just tap on Facebook payments within my mobile banking app and pick you from a drop-down list, and there'll be your Facebook avatar there, and put in the amount and click, and off we go. So you'd receive a notification within Facebook that I'd sent you some money, and you can collect it there.
So
it's a really simple, easy way.
What happens if I'm not a customer of ASB Bank, though?
Well, you don't need to be a customer. That's one of the great things about it. So if you're not a customer, you will, when you click on the notification, it'll take you to a Facebook page where you can enter in, it's essentially a collection service. So you enter in your bank account details into a secure page, which is funneled through into ASB. And we then process that payment through to your bank account details. Your other New Zealand bank.
Great, very.
But it's really just a way of, you know, getting into the slipstream of your life. You know, making banking easy and and seamless. So, you know, you're out to lunch and you're splitting the bill and one of you pays for it and I'll pay you back that money, and rather than I'll try and remember to pay you back that money, right, you can just do it on your phone right there and then. And actually, you don't need to remember what your bank account number is. You know, all I need is your Facebook. Yeah.
And that's one of the reasons that PayPal's been so successful. Also, is that having to remember your sort code or your SWIFT code and your account number and the branch address and all that stuff just to send money is so complicated. Whereas if it's just picking a friend off my Facebook page and sending them money, then that's really easy. And in fact, you know, a lot of the things we do around money are quite social. So it seems to make a lot of sense integrating that sort of basic thing. So, Frank, what about your experience? What are you seeing that you think is really interesting on these platforms in respect to new ways of capturing the flow of money or servicing customers or contextualizing banking?
Well, I think the spaces are continually evolving. And I think, you know, as we're seeing a lot of the statistics lately, you're seeing some declines in Facebook, some pickups in Twitter. So I think there's going to be some areas that will change things. But what I would actually say I agree the payments space is one of those that are interesting. You know, recently Google started where you can make payments or share money, via Gmail. And it's quite interesting because many banks, including Citi, have allowed you to email money for a while. Yeah. It's nothing new. Yet, a lot of people, this is great. The fact is, these things are going to continually evolve to make it easier to get money from one source to another. I think the things that we have to pay attention to is going to be the more the communication style shifts. As we're seeing people leaving Facebook, where are they going? They're going to a place like Twitter, where it is completely public, but they're also going to very private apps. To be able to just communicate with whomever they're trying to in a place that they're comfortable with. So I expect there's going to be some shifts in how we go about servicing when you consider that. So today, you offer check, but maybe, you'll offer servicing through these other means, but, it will disappear. It will be secure. I think these are all things that we have to start thinking about as the people move from the space. The other aspects to things that I think are extraordinarily important is video. I think video is going to be a really game changer in many ways, whether it be, now your branch is your phone. And, how do you enhance that and, make it personal and build these human connections? And so I expect video is also going to be another big component to what we see going forward.
It's interesting, isn't it, that you've got all these banks at the moment sort of putting video tellers in, and Bank of America has launched these ATMs with the video tellers integrated into the ATM. But you're carrying around now these devices, these smartphones or tablets, which you can do exactly the same thing. And why would I go down to a branch when I could click into Facebook and engage with an advisor or expert through that channel or through YouTube maybe not YouTube, or Skype, but we are getting this new generation, the Y Gens, are a lot more visual in respect to their brand engagement. We're seeing that with Instagram, Pinterest, Tumblr, to some extent. So it'll be very interesting to see the way video and video communication plays an ongoing role in development of the brand voice and tone as well. So I think that's very interesting. Simone, what do you see as being, in the future, what do you think is going to really be impactful? Do you think we're going to see banking or financial services businesses emerge exclusively on social or, in unique ways on social that are different from the traditional approach to retail?
I think we'll see an involvement, and social and digital will kind of continue to become more intertwined. So it's not just social, it is, digital and mobile as well. So it's a combination of all those things. And perhaps in the future, we'll see more of the, peer-to-peer lending solutions as they kind of bubble up. I think it'll be really interesting to kind of watch how they develop and evolve over, in the next year or so.
Great. Well, for both of you, we really appreciated you having you on the show. I hope you guys can come back at some time in the future. For those of you that have been listening, you know, we've had Simone McCallum on from ASB Bank in Auckland. Go and check out their Facebook page. I will say, Simone, I think, and I, you know, I talked about you guys in Bank 3.0, the book as well, but I think you guys have done a fantastic job with social. And if anyone wants to see best practice, then they couldn't go any further than, you know, particularly for a mid-range size bank to check out ASB. So well done. And Frank, thanks for joining us. Good luck with your book too. You want to just give us a plug on the book just as we close out? Where can we get it?
Sure. At Your Service, it's available pretty much all major booksellers. It's available on all types of editions, so Kindle and Nook, et cetera, Apple iPad. But it's also available in hard copy as well. So traditionally, it's available anywhere books are sold. But, you know, Brett, I want to thank you for everything you've done for the industry and certainly push the industry forward.
Thank you very much, guys. It was a great session today. Enjoyed the chat and keep in touch. You've been listening to Breaking Banks Radio Show. Thank you for joining us. Next week, we're going to be talking about emerging consumer behavior in the retail banking space. Very, very interesting. So join us again next week for Breaking Banks.
You've been listening to Breaking Banks with host Brett King. Please be sure to join us again next Thursday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel. We'll explore more changes and challenges next week.